Well, it's my privilege to share with you today, and it's lovely to see all of you, people that we see every week, and also all of you visitors. It's lovely to have you with us today. We've been looking at stories in our church. We first of all looked at our story and God's story and the people that we want to share our story with. And we've moved on now to looking at stories of people in the Bible and why God put them in his word. Why were they there? What were they there to teach us? Excuse me. And so we're looking today at Caleb. And I'm aware that we're looking, he was a man that would one day take the land that God had apportioned to the children of Israel. And I'm abundantly aware of what's happened this week and the rights and wrongs of each side and what they are doing to fight for land today. As they did many years ago, but under God's direction at this time that we're looking at today. And so Moses was leading the people out of Egypt. They'd been in slavery and treated so badly in Egypt. And Moses led them out of Egypt. And we read about that in the book of Exodus. The beginning books of the Bible kind of set the story up of God leading his people to their land. And so they came dramatically out of Egypt and they camped at the foot of Mount Sinai. And they were there for a couple of years. And in that time, it was a time of resting, if you like. They'd come out of really harsh times in Egypt. And they were resting, they were being taught, and they were building, and they were meeting God face to face. And so that's the foundation, if you like, of God beginning to set for himself a people in their land. And when we go into the next book, the book of Leviticus, that sets up the idea of worship and of people, of cleansing for the people and service that they would be doing. And that comes into Leviticus. And if you like, the overwhelming message of the book of Leviticus is the holiness of God and his call to his people to be holy, just as he was holy. But how could an unholy people come into the presence and approach a holy God? And so sin needed to be dealt with. And so you get the whole idea of sacrifices and offerings and of the priests and of the Day of Atonement. And you'll read all about that in Leviticus. And at the end of Leviticus, there's celebration as God appoints feasts. Times for his people to remember him. And so we come to the book of Numbers, which is where we're at today. And the children of Israel are all set to set out from Mount Sinai and come into the land of Canaan that God had promised them. They grumbled and they whinged and they complained all of the time. Numbers records the tragic story of Israel's unbelief and of God's real patience with them. And into this background comes the man that I want to look at today, Caleb. Moses sends out 12 spies into the land. I'm sure a lot of you know the story. He sends spies out into this land of Canaan that God wants them to have. And he wants to see what kind of a land it was. And so for each of the tribes of Israel, a leader was appointed that was going to be one of the spies sent out. So 12 men go out. And Caleb was appointed for the tribe of Judah. He actually was a Kenizzite. He was a descendant of Esau, but he was integrated into the tribe of Judah, well integrated, so much so that they recognized his leadership abilities, and he became their representative to go into the land of Canaan. And the job was to spy out the land and to see what it was like. God had promised a great land, and so they had to go and spy it out. And you read that in Numbers 13. And it says this: Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. Go north through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. See what kind of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls or are they unprotected like open camps? Is the soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Do your best to bring back samples of the crops you see. It happened to be the season for harvesting the first grapes. And so they were sent out with those instructions, and they were there for 40 days. And they come back with this report, and it's in Numbers 13:26. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful. Their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we travel through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. They came back with such a mixed report, one that said everything that God had said the land would be, but also one of such discouragement for those around that they would never be able to achieve getting that land. So what marked out Caleb as different from the others? He came back along with Joshua with a totally different report. He could see the possibilities. He was a man of vision, and he believed God could do exactly what he said that he would do. He had no problem believing that God could give them victory. All of the spies had seen how good the land was, but 10 of them saw the problems. Only 2 of them saw the possibilities. Caleb wasn't blind. He saw the same people in the land, but more than that, he saw a God who was able. We can certainly do it, he said. Sometimes we can be like that, you know, in our own situations. Problems can come into our lives that seem utterly overwhelming. And we kind of lose trust in God because the circumstances are so big. And we only see the problems. We can't see the possibilities. We can't see beyond where we're at that point in time. But, you know, the people listened to the 10 spies, and they were so mad about the whole situation. Moses and Aaron fell down on the floor. Joshua and Caleb tore their clothes in distress as the people just complained against the Lord and actually said, we'd be better going back to Egypt, the place where they had been flogged and beaten and kept as slaves and cried out to God to be released from. We would be better going back there. Do you ever get to that stage in your life where you look at a situation and maybe you have problems and you think, I wish I was back to this situation that was in my life? But, you know, Joshua and Caleb just tried to calm the people down. And it says in chapter 14, they said to all the people of Israel, the land we travel through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Don't rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless. Pray to us, have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. And Caleb was trying to persuade the men and women of that day that this was a great project and God had great plans for them, but the people couldn't see it. They were frightened and their trust in the Lord was almost gone. And so they wanted to stone Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb. But the Lord said to them, you will never enter the promised land. Because you've got no trust in me, you'll never see it. You'll all die out in this wilderness. But, he said, because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I'll bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. And so I want to look at what marked Caleb out as a different kind of man with a different kind of spirit. Well, he had a faith, a total confidence in God, a total confidence that who he said he was and what he said he could do, he certainly could do. In the face of opposition from the giants in the land, he was prepared to trust God's word. In the face of opposition from his fellow leaders, the 10 spies, who were so negative and presumptuous and exaggerated the situation, he was prepared to trust in God. And in the face of opposition from all of the people, Caleb's faith never faltered for a moment. How about you? You know what God has said in his word. You know that he has told you he has plans for you to give you a future and a hope. He has his best for you. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. Are you trusting in that? Have you got faith to believe in God's word? Do you know what he has said about you? Do you see problems or do you see possibilities? Are you put off by the enemy when God says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? Are you influenced by people around you who can be negative, who can exaggerate the problems and be presumptuous, if you like, about the outcome? Or have you got faith to believe God is for you and has plans for your life? He wants you to succeed. Have you got that kind of feeling about the Lord? You know, I was listening to a lady from, in Crosby, I can't remember. Story House, thank you. And I was listening to her yesterday, and she was talking about that very verse, you know, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And she pointed out to us that sometimes, you know, in our lives we have our plans. I don't know what kind of plans as a young person you had and you expected in your life. Maybe you felt, if you were a lady, I just want to be married and have three kids and have this, you know, kind of plan. Or maybe you thought, no, I want to go around the world. I want to see life. Or anything, whatever plans you had. I want to get to the top of my career, whatever it is. And sometimes things go wrong and they don't work out as you planned, and you just fail miserably in the situation. Do you ever think that God said, I know the plans that I have for you? I tell you, some of the plans I have for my own life, I am so glad God was gracious enough not to let me see them through. Because looking back now, I think that would have been a disaster. And we can have ideas about plans for our life. And, you know, it's sometimes if it doesn't work, we feel really up against it all. But when we follow God's plans for our life, that brings us into abundance. And this is what Caleb knew. He had a faith in God's plan. And although what he could see, I mean, people were out for his life. Although he could see that it wasn't exactly coming right this second, he had a faith in God that never faltered. And a man with a different kind of spirit has a vision. God fulfills his promises. And Caleb and Joshua were exempt, you know, from the curse of God on the people of Israel when he said, you'll not enter the promised land. Caleb and Joshua were exempt because they knew God could take them there. But they were certainly affected by it. Because all of that time, they were wandering in the desert with the children of Israel. They were waiting 40 years till all of them died out that were around. And it was in that time, in that long waiting time, that Caleb's vision never faded. He knew what God had said, and he knew that God could bring him about. He was a different kind of man. How do I know that in that time he was a different kind of man? Well, it tells me this in Joshua chapter 14. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and I gave an honest report. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God, so that Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land, and that your descent, that of you and your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly follow the Lord your God. And Caleb said, now as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise. Even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I'm 85 years old. I'm as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. And I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country. Wasn't asking for anything easy. Give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as he said. Doesn't that inspire you? That all of that time, 45 years, I tell you, I can't say that I've got the same strength now as I had 45 years ago. I was 28 45 years ago, and my knees are definitely not what they were. But God had kept Caleb because he had made him a promise. And he was seeing it through so that Caleb was ready at 85 years old to do the same thing he was ready all those years before to do. He had spent time wandering with these people who were whinging and complaining. He could face his enemies and totally trust in God's overcoming power. He could face the negativity and the faithlessness of his fellow leaders. He could be in a minority of two and trust in the vindication of God. He faced the people's grumbling and moaning and disbelief, and he shone like a star in that time. A different kind of man with a different kind of spirit. And God is looking for people who will be different kinds of people. If we look like the world, why would they want to have anything that we've got? They're looking for something different. They're looking for something that works. They're looking for something that's better than what they already have. They're looking for something to hold on to and believe in a world that is changing all the time, in a world where you don't know what you can trust, really, that there are so many different opinions and world views and everything else, and people just get onto one thing and then it changes to something else, and they're looking for something that they can hold on to, something that is different. They're looking at you and me as we say, Jesus has made a difference in my life. And they're looking to see what kind of difference he's actually made. And a man with a different spirit has motivation. Caleb had motivation to keep him going. I don't know if I would have kept going. I doubt it very much. With 40 years of listening to people grumbling, complaining, it would wear you down. But Caleb had such a motivation in his life that it didn't put him off. He didn't lose sight of what God had said. He didn't lose that motivation. And I want to say to you today, if you've lost your motivation, lift your eyes up. Lift your eyes up. Refresh your sight. Look at what God is saying. Rest with the Lord for a little while and let your perspective change. Let your perspective change. Hebrews 10, 23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. He is true to his word. A man with a different kind of spirit has perseverance. Caleb experienced all the trials of the journey that the children of Israel experienced. They experienced lack of water, hostility from the enemies around. They experienced the snakes and the plague and all of this kind of thing that was going on around them. And he saw the death of Moses and Aaron. And I wondered if that would have made a difference to him as he sees people dying out, as he sees his whole generation dying out. doubt around him, but he had perseverance. He acknowledged God's faithfulness in keeping him safe through all of that time. You know, life isn't about waiting for the storms to pass. It's learning to dance in the rain. I don't know if you've thought about that. Sometimes we can go through difficult times and we just wish it away. Lord, get me out of this. And you know, sometimes the Lord is saying, I want you to learn to dance in the rain. I want you to be bigger than your situation. He says that in all things we can be more than conquerors through him who loved us. Do you consider some of the stages in your life to be things you just want to get through quickly? Or do you look at those situations and you think, Lord, what can I learn in this? What are you saying to me at this time? How can I reflect who you are even in this difficult time? It's not waiting for the storms to pass. It's learning to dance in the rain. James 1 and verse 2 says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Well, I tell you, that's not my initial reaction. When troubles of any kind come, I don't consider it an opportunity for great joy, but I want to get there. I want to get to that place. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And lastly, a man with a different kind of spirit has commitment. Caleb was wholehearted in his love and obedience to God. He wasn't just God on the side and I'll live my life and I don't mind tipping into God every now and then. He was wholehearted in his commitment to God and in his love and obedience. He was a hero of the faith and a witness to us all. You know, when you make a commitment to the Lord, you're committing yourself to his kingdom, to his cause and to his ways. It's not just words that we say, but actions that we do. We no longer live to please ourselves. Our plans become very secondary to what the Lord has in our lives. Because you know, when we live with his plans, then we understand what it means to live an abundant life. If Jesus says to me that I've come that they might have life in all its fullness, then I want his plans. I think I'll ditch my plans. I think I want to know what he is saying to me, how he wants me to live, because I know that he will get me through. Are you and I a different kind of man or woman? Do we have a different kind of spirit to the world around us? A spirit that engenders a faith that never falters, and a vision that never fades, a motivation that inspires, and a perseverance that conquers. Life isn't about waiting for the storms to pass. It's learning to dance in the rain. What has the power of God done in your life since you believed?